7 o'clock. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's November 8th, 2021. And can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Millen?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Chacon?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Schimp?
Yeah.
Schumacher?
Here.
And Reichstick is absent.
Okay. And visitors, we have Daniel.
Chacon.
We have Judy from Friends, and...
Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Oh.
Yeah, I got it. You plugged in. Okay, do we have any amendments to the agenda?
I would like to put on under new business a discussion about having a referendum to increase our levy for next year.
We won't be able to make any decisions on it, though,
because I'd like to get that discussion out there, mm-hmm. started people thinking about it, mm-hmm. and then we can have the vote and the discussion, more discussion next month.
And this is because our current
funds are vastly being depleted, mm-hmm. because of. Minimum wage,
yeah.
Wage compression,
mm-hmm.
and talking with Shelley, she would like to create another full-time position.
Mm-hmm.
So between that, between operations and maintenance, we have a lot of maintenance on our building that needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and I have a few numbers that I worked out, and mm-hmm. I talked to Rob about it, and
okay.
he says he'll help any way he can.
So we can start the discussion with this, but just know that we cannot make any decisions
correct.
On it because the public has not been able to have comment.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Are there any presentations? Okay, so let's go over the minutes and approve those.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence?
No.
Okay. Any public comment? No. All right. Can we have the Friends of the Library report?
Yes. Thank you. Today we distributed our new membership directory is something we do every year. It has our constitution in the front and a list of all the members. So that went out today. And today we also approved $1,655 for various things for the library, including walkie-talkies. It'll be a 10-pack. We're getting it for our own use, but also to share with the library. It would have helped a lot, for example, with the community fest, if people had been able just to, you know, walkie-talkies. I mean, texting is great, but it takes longer. So that will be useful for a number of things, and also it's for the library, too. The chair yoga that would start, I don't know if you are familiar with the word chair, yoga. We started that, Genevieve started that this month, and she had to increase the number of places because it filled up so quickly.
Wow.
And everybody wanted to do it the next day or the next week. So for right now, we're doing it twice a month for November and December, but we approved today the money to do it weekly in January to see how that goes. And what was so nice about it is that there were a lot of people who aren't library users and people we had never seen before. Mm-hmm. So that was, it's a good community thing, and mm-hmm. it's very, very popular. Now, we approved money for various programs, the Polar Express for the children's, their New Year's Eve party, the creative writing program, and also what Shelley's going to talk about later, the Illinois Libraries Present. And that's a 6-month trial, and she'll talk about that one. So we approved money for lots of different things. Also, to let you know that the mini golf fundraiser is well underway. I believe she said she had half of the sponsors already with a check. I mean, she has not just a commitment, she has the check for those sponsors and some raffle prizes already. As we get closer, the date will be February the 6th. It's a week later than normal because the Super Bowl is a week later than normal. But we'll need your help, so if you can volunteer to help, it's a lot of fun. And so I hope you can help with that as we get closer and there are volunteer opportunities to do that. We're also having our annual Christmas lunch for friends and for the library staff in December on the 13th. And you are all welcome to come to that. And this little tidbit of information came up because Shelley asked me to put some numbers together. What the friends have raised for the library with their fundraisers. And this, I'm going to add in the library book sale, which is an ongoing thing. It's over $100,000 that we have contributed to the library for all kinds of programs, supplies, materials, books, I don't know, all the things, you know, that we have contributed. So it's not a little amount, it's a significant amount, and we are all very grateful for the opportunity to help you out, and we hope that the library will continue to let us know what the needs are. So next big fundraiser is mini golf in February.
And we appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Has that come over the whole course of the Friends' existence?
Well, Friends have come and gone over the years. I started the Friends group again when I retired in 2008. And we had our first fundraiser in 2009, and that was the book sale. We made $4,000 that year. So every year we've made, you know, we've done better and better. And it's so when you add it all up, though, that's, yeah, so the, yes, well, the book sale has been in existence for 12 years. I didn't start the mini golf until 2014. So we lost a year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But, and we hope that this continues, but Friends groups, like many other groups that you may be familiar with, there's a life expectancy, and then you just have to hope for some new blood to keep it going.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Stuff going on. Report of the treasurer.
Okay. Draw your attention to a few things on the manual check register. Mm-hmm. It's the pages that look like this that are highlighted. On page 4, there's 2 highlights for Verizon, but only the first one, number 10, is ours, and that's the hotspot. It doesn't go into our account, so it's not. It's just accidentally highlighted. And then on page 6 of 14. The Griffin's system is the 55% down payment for the security camera system. And the next line, Imperial Service Systems, was for our carpet cleaning in September. And Prairie Cat on page 7 is the $3,965 is for the quarterly fees, and then the $499 is for the mobile app annual fee.
The Prairie Cat.
Yeah. And then Peregrine, Stein, Newman, those are the lawyers, legal services, and drafting the harassment policy. And then on page 8, R.J. O'Neill came out for 3 service calls, and 2 in September and 1 in October, so those are all on there. And then TCG Solutions on page 9 is for the phone system. It includes the bills for July, August, September, and October, and then the installation of the new system. We didn't pay a phone bill for a while because they were troubleshooting items, so we didn't want to pay them. Mm-hmm. So that's why it kind of got backed up. And then if you go over to the fiscal budget report, we're at 50% of our year. So we're doing very well on all the things that we can control budget-wise. The group life insurance is at 65%, but we don't have control over that. Like, that's just what it is. But one thing that's really exciting is our development fees are at 140, almost 144% of our budget for the year. So yay for new building. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. Oh, and we had 3 payroll periods this time because we're on a bi-week. So there were 3 this time, so that's high.
I'll make a motion that we pay our bills for accounts payable of $35,949.28. And then for payroll, sum of $61,150.93 for a total disbursement of $97,100.28.
Okay. Susan, thank you. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we have the report of the library director, please?
Sure. So last month I had reported on the Community Fest, and I just put a little bit more verbiage in there on it again as well. Genevieve has created 2 new programs, recurring programs. Judy spoke of one, the chair yoga, but she's also doing a Roman Readers book club that she started. They meet at Hoover Forest Preserve for now until it gets cold. Today I gave her the number of the athletic dome. Ask them to see if maybe we can partner with them somehow. So she's going to reach out to them, see if we can do that in the winter months, and then start back up in the spring again with that. She's also going to be starting a reading buddy club with AID. It's adults with intellectual learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they come in once a month. They bring 2 buses of residents and their aides, and so she's going to try to create some kind of reading group with them. So she's reached out to them, and they seem pretty receptive to that, so we're glad to start that as well. We have the Halloween Tots and Toddlers program. It's our yearly fun program where staff dresses up, and then we have a costume contest. And Miss Joan won for her Old Man in the Sea costume. It was very cute. Very cute. I was Darla from Finding Nemo. So that was fun. I had to take my pigtails out because I didn't think anybody was going to take me seriously. We also participated in the Yorkville Chamber Biz Boom. I think they said we had over 70 plus kids that came to the library for that. And we want to thank Wrigley for the candy. They donated a large amount of candy to the city and the police department and to us as well. So
Giving you some, I'll probably be giving you some every month for a while. We have a lot.
That's good. That's good.
A lot. But we'll be using it for Polar Express. We'll be using it for mini golf as well. So. We are closed this Thursday for Veterans Day. We are also partnering with the YPAC for 3 story times this month. It's going to be ballerina story time, so someone there will be reading story time, and then they'll be doing a little ballet lesson to go along with that. Jeanette's doing a Paying for College Without Going Broke webinar. That's Tuesday, November 16th. Let's see here. She's getting geared up for planning for the Polar Express. That's a big program that she has every year, and we're going to do that in person this year, which is very nice. Last year we had to do like a drive-through one. She's having 2 sessions, and the littles come and they hear the story Polar Express, and they have a snack, hot cocoa and cookies, and then they write a letter to Santa, and Santa's here, so they give him their letter, and then Jeanette takes those letters to our creative writing group, and they answer those letters for Santa and send them, put them in the mail for the kids. So it's really fun, real fun experience for everyone. They get a kick out of doing that as well. Jeanette's also going to be doing 2 sessions of Reading Buddies again this year over winter break. This was a successful program with us. We had teens paired up with littles, and they read to them. I think she says she has about 25 teens that have volunteered to do this over break, so that's great. And she's planning a New Year's Eve party with the kids for games and prizes. Today, I actually gave a tour to our state Illinois Senator Karina Villa. Her office reached out to us and asked if we wouldn't give her a tour, so she came in today, which was nice. Just wanted to see what we did here at the library and how we're utilizing our services for the community. So she's very, very nice lady. Very nice. She's a lifelong West Chicago resident. Wemeca has reached out to us to do another period poverty collection in our lobby. So that box is there. If you see it in there, it will be there till December 6th, the collection box. And it just goes to a good cause for the young kids in need. Let's see here. I reached out to Tim Shimp to try to schedule a meeting just to partner up and see, you know, what we could do for each other. And we're going to put it on hold until maybe the end of this month. He's in the process of hiring someone for director of marketing and storytelling. So he said once he gets that, then we would sit down and have a chat. as far as library operations go, the city maintenance person that they hired, Ted, he has been over quite often just checking in on us, seeing what we need, and doing a little odd, well, it's mostly light odds. But, yeah, he's doing a great job just keeping an eye. He's unclogged gutters, got up on the roof and cleaned that off, and we're happy that he's here. We had a service specialist from Cicerco come, and they'll be here tomorrow as well. They were here last week to install the software on our new computer, and tomorrow they'll be here to install the modules for the computer.
And the old computer is dead, gone, and buried.
Oh, yeah.
The city was also here to install no parking fire lanes, 2 of them along here, to try to help alleviate the traffic after school, but it's, you know, the parents are just not seeing them, or I don't know, but just
not paying attention.
Or just ignoring them. I want to tell you that we had an incident last month with a staff member and one of the high school students. We block off the parking lot so they can't come through here at the end of the day because it's just crazy. So Jeanette goes out every day and puts the barricades up. Well, they move the barricades, let kids' cars come through. So Jeanette got in front of them to stop them. And this young kid was checking his brakes and he bumped her leg. So, yeah.
Did we do a report?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. We did. Not much is being done, but it is a workman's comp claim.
Yes.
But I did mention it in my talk too, as well, at the school. So hopefully we can get something resolved to stop those kids from doing that. I went over a second time and spoke with the police department as well. So, yeah, it's an ongoing thing right now, and it's quite frustrating with the kids that are doing this and running off. Yeah, it's a real struggle. So, we're trying to stay on top of it. Let's see. Genevieve also has added a few items with donation from the Friends, and I can't remember if I told you this last month or not, but we now have a large high-visibility keyboard and large trackball for people that might have limited sight or hand mobility issues. And she's also created reminisce kits for caregivers for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And those are up in our for circulation in our nonfiction collection. And we actually had someone from Cedarhurst staff come over to look at them because she had heard that we had those. So and that is my report.
I have one question. If you go back a couple pages, back in our budget thing, it says that library subscription cards were at 6,000, that we had we're at 6,592 cards. Is that correct?
For the
new
cards and
yeah.
The library cards?
Yeah, it says we, or I'm sorry, 400% increase, or at least we're at 400% on that. I thought that was. That's true. I'm like, that's great.
Do we have the mini assignment for cards?
That is actual year to date.
Oh, year to date.
So,
yes.
Okay.
So that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
That's year to date. So from.
Because I saw where it said percent changes 400%.
Yeah, actually, it's 1,000.
Okay. All right. I just want to.
Okay.
Okay.
The percent change for copy charges is.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. No liaison from the city. Did any standing committees meet over there? All right, let's go into unfinished business. HVAC duct cleaning proposal update.
I can speak
to that?
All right, so I did some research, and I think I sent Shelley about a 2-page email. So rather than go through that, I just kind of pulled some billing managers to see. One guy laughed at me about I asked, you know, how often they clean their ducts, and he laughed. Said never. But one person gave me some time, and you know, when we talked, he said, you know, really, especially given, you know, concerns now with air cleanliness, we're more cognizant of that. He said, for peace of mind, you may want to go ahead and do it. The price, you know, that we got from RJ O'Neill, he said was seemed pretty reasonable, given the size of our building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it seems like it's something if we can, you know, if we have some room in our budget to do, it's not necessarily urgent. The main thing is always changing your filters. And it seemed like when R.J. O'Neill, you know, I had some questions back to, I think his name is Kevin. It doesn't sound like our filters are ridiculously dirty when they're changing them. I mean, they're definitely due. We're only twice a year, so some buildings may do more often than that. You definitely do more frequently at your house. So, you know, I think if it's something we could fit in this year or next year, you know, we should do, and then maybe every 3 to 5 years, we'll be having service work, I'm sure, in that time span. Maybe make a note just to, you know, keep an eye on that stuff. But definitely any time with new construction, there's always stuff that gets in there. Mm-hmm. And I think now in construction, we're doing a better job in keeping that out of ductwork, but you just get stuff in there. So probably not a bad idea to do it. But it doesn't need to be done every year, you know, probably not even every 3 to 5, maybe every 10 after that. So that's kind of where I'm at. Hopefully that summarized the 2 pages.
So if we start budgeting for this, so say we budget next year, next fiscal year, then you know, we would have to revisit this 3 years after that or something.
I think so.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Sure. Okay. Anything else?
Hospitals check them every year.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Camera system proposal update.
I'll take on that one. We paid the check to get it started. Mm-hmm. Last month, I said that we needed to purchase a power over Ethernet switch, and it would be $1,450. I didn't want to buy it until we actually signed the proposal and got all that scheduled. By that time, the one that was for $1,450 is gone. Mm-hmm. So what we have is a proposal. This is from Amazon. It's this page here is $1,650. Okay. So because it's over her purchasing limit, which we have to get a vote from the board. Without this, the camera system won't work.
Okay.
So we may at some point want to revisit purchasing power for the director.
I thought we increased that to 2 years.
What is it?
$1,500.
I think it's 2,000.
I'm pretty sure we up.
No, I thought it was 1,500.
Oh.
That's why this is here. But we can vote on it anyway.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and purchase the Ethernet switch for the camera system for the amount of $1,650.
I'll second that.
Shim? Schumacher?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
And Walter?
Yes.
So we need to make sure that that's increased to 2.
I'll look him up.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so move on to new business. Illinois libraries present intergovernment old agreement.
All right, so in your packet, it's a lot of information, but what it is a statewide co-op that was created by the initial 12 libraries. And what they're wanting to do is to be able to provide high quality online programs for all size libraries. So they've created a sliding scale based on your operating budget, how much it would cost each library to participate in this program. And we fall under the $375 for the pilot program for 6 months. And what we get from that is at least 6 virtual programs, all, and it will range in ages for the program, but it will cover maybe New York Times bestselling author talks. It might cover current events. There'll be something, I'm sure, on EDI, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And this committee does all of the marketing for it, the flyers. They'll do the after the program data for reporting. So it's a really nice opportunity for us to get some high-quality programs at a very low cost. So it works out to about $62 a program if there was just six involved. So this is just a pilot program that has started. They're going to do it for 6 months and see how it works out. The Friends have agreed to pay for this program for us for the first 6 months. And what this document is looking for, they need approval from every library board's, every participating library's board. So that's why this is all included. And included also is a sample contract that would be written. And it's, you'll see the name Northbrook Public Library. She is the head of putting this whole program together. So she's going to be involved in getting the contacts and the contracts. And so at this point, I just need you guys to vote on whether we participate or not in this program.
Is it $375 every 6 months, or are we just talking about the pilot program and we'll revisit it in 6 months?
They hope that as more libraries participate, that number will go down. So I don't believe that this number is going to go up, but it would probably be this price again for another 6 months if we decide to do it.
This is based on the total budget, not just our operating budget.
It's based on our operating budget.
Do we come up with the
programs, or do they do the questions?
I'm sorry?
Do we come up with those programs out of there, or do they give us the programs that we need?
They give us the program, yeah. I mean, they'll take suggestions for sure, yes.
So you say that we're at the cost of $375?
Mm-hmm. $375.
For the 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And the Friends has agreed to help us?
Yeah, I think this is a
no-brainer. I think this is a no-brainer. But we have to think about...
Mm-hmm.
You
want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we adopt this Illinois Library Present Intergovernmental Agreement as presented to us by our director.
Second.
Schumacher?
Can I abstain?
Sure. Okay, Miller?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
And Shim?
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to Library Director Succession Plan Draft.
This was something that would have been good to have, and it's just in case something were to happen to the library director. If they have a short-term absence or a long-term absence, and this is just the procedure that we would take to who would be first in line to step into that role, or second, third, or fourth. Or, and it's also at the discretion of the library board as well. And the steps we would follow, the communication plan, board oversight, and for short-term and for long-term. And if you agree to that, then there's just signature for file, but... Then I've also included information for emergency contacts our vendor list, our disaster plan, we have our policy, and where all that information is stored and can be found if someone steps into this role. And then I've also listed, and I'll have this in a locked area in the business manager's office, all the passwords to everything, so whomever could get into that as well. And then the last page is like annual milestones that would need to be known for board meetings and that. And I highlighted the director evaluation because I'm not sure where you guys would like me to put that.
What do you mean?
What month that should go to? Should that go to, depending on when I was in? Like, my first day was May, so is it going to be, are we going to revisit a director evaluation in May? Is that how you would like that on there? That was my question.
We need to do 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm. First year, 6 months.
First year, 6 months, and then after that, it's
yearly.
Yearly?
Okay. Okay. Okay, next, serving our...
Sorry. Is this something that... So I have signature of approval.
Oh.
Do we want to...
Do you want to take a vote?
Table it, or do you want to take a vote?
Does everybody have a chance to go over? Does everybody have the time to read it?
Okay. I can put it...
I think that if everybody peruses it, and then we can come back next month and then adopt it. Okay, let's do it that way.
Give everybody a chance to look at it. If there's questions, you can address it.
November is your 6 months. November is your 6 months.
Yes, so it's time to do that.
Okay, serving our public 4.0. Standards for Illinois Public Libraries?
Yep. So, I did not print off that whole booklet that I sent you.
Thanks.
So, this is the booklet. And these are standards that we need to follow for being a library, for providing service to our patrons, for laws, Illinois laws. And so there's checklists and chapters that are supposed to be reviewed by the director and the library board before I file the per capita grant in January. Mm-hmm. So I just took chapters 1, 2, 3, and 6 to kind of go over tonight real fast. And we meet most of the standards. And so when you're filling out the grant, you tell them that you meet the standards or you're working to meet the standards. So I just highlighted a couple that maybe we could use a little work on or work towards meeting those goals. So in the chapter one, the library core standards, core number 7 is the Board of Trustees adopt written bylaws that outline the board's purpose and operational procedures and address conflict of interest issues. So in our policy book, I think that's lacking, and I've seen a couple samples of better and more thorough bylaws for trustees. So I would suggest in my report that we work towards meeting that goal of boosting those up. So that is something that I can work on as well. like I said, a lot of this is going to be just policy updates because policies haven't been updated. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been updated here and there, but they could use an overhaul, I think. So that'll be a lot of my focus for a while. So I would suggest doing that. Everything else in this we meet, with the exception of, let me see, number 13. So we have a strategic plan right now, and usually strategic plans are 3 to 5 years. We do have the disaster plan, disaster recovery plan that I just did. Our collection management or collection development policy, that's very vague, and so I've already spoken with Genevieve, and she'll take a look at boosting that up as well. We do not.
That's which one again? Collection?
The collection management policy. And I've done the personnel policy. We do not have a technology plan policy, and I think that's really important for future planning. So I talked with our IT gentleman, Lloyd, to ask him to kind of sit down and help me look at that for planning. And then, obviously, updating other policies as appropriate.
So all of this fall under number 13?
Yeah.
All of those two, collection policy and the technology policy, core policy fall under number 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you say technology plan policy, like, what are we looking at? Like we shall provide internet? We have, what, I don't know.
Well,
what
the technology
is
plan is how you're going to,
something happens,
pay for upgrading your computers and your servers, and how long their life expectancy and how much they are. And
we can roll cameras into that too.
Yep, security cameras, mobs, alarm, all of that can go in to a technology plan.
Okay.
Let's see.
It was chapter one. I'm following you. That was chapter one.
Chapter one. Let's see here. That was it for that one. Okay. Everything else we meet the standards. Okay. Chapter two is on governance and administration checklist. Let's see here. So this one we don't number for some reason. So down towards the center, library board reviews library policies on a regular basis. Obviously, again, I'll be saying that we're working on that in the coming year. There's one, the one underneath it. Library board members participate in local, state, regional, and national decision making that will benefit libraries. So,
yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah, not really. I don't believe.
How can you?
How do you do that? How,
you can't write that into anything. Like you must, the board must do this, or somebody on the board must do this.
No,
but
no. It's suggested that's what good service board library is. It's just that they stay up to date and in touch
with law, local, public.
With staying up to date with the laws also, yeah, and keeping in touch with your elected officials as well.
Okay.
I think we do that.
I think we do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We do it locally, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's
what I was going to say. Locally, we are vested in.
Honestly, I think locally is far more important for a public library.
Yeah.
Because there's not much nationally, but
The next one develops an orientation program for new board members. I think we could do something better with that. Yes, and I would love suggestions if you guys have any.
I just want to be a part.
Let's see here.
Okay.
And then again, this one, library has a board-approved set of written bylaws that's just kind of a repeat that I will talk about needs updating. Library's written a succession plan, which is just, yeah, and both internal and external talent. for anticipating needs of library leadership and other key personnel. So that's our department head staff. That's something that we could look into doing too.
How do you look at the department in the future?
So the library has staffing levels that are sufficient to carry out the library's mission. So one of the strategic goals we have is to promote outreach and better marketing for our community. So that's where I think we could do much better at.
Yes.
And I feel that we need to seriously look at hiring a full-time person as a marketing and outreach coordinator. I've worked on creating a bit of a job description for that. And I need to reach out to the city, to Rob Fredrickson. He's the finance director, and find out how and if that can even happen in our current situation. So that's to be determined, to be continued on that one. But I just wanted to make you guys aware that that's really important. I think it's an important message to get that out to the community, what we offer, and to really have someone focus on just that, putting our message out there, bringing the library out to people and bringing them in. So,
I agree.
The one underneath that is the library has job descriptions and salary schedules for all of our positions. So a few of those have been updated recently, and there's two positions that they need to have theirs updated as well. So I can work on that. We don't have a salary schedule here at the lot. We just have never had a salary schedule.
I've never seen that.
So,
Is it because the city does our payroll, or?
I don't think that does anything.
Salary schedule is base pay and what you can max out at. We've never done that.
Well, I think that's something that we were trying to do prior to the freezers. I don't think we never got around to that.
Okay. All right. Then everything's good on that chapter as well. And then the last chapter is chapter 6, which is the safety checklist. And,
not chapter 3?
No, chapter 3.
Or 4. Be
at a later
date. I think it was 4.
Chapter 4, access. Yeah. I have it on there.
Okay.
So, and then 5 is building, so we're saving that one. Okay. Last. safety checklist. So since I've just done the safety disaster plan, this was an easy one to get through. And there's really only a few things that we need to address on this one. The emergency exits, evacuation routes out of the library, and the tornado shelters are clearly marked. So we don't have tornado shelters marked. So I've found signs that we can easily purchase and put right outside the bathrooms for that. And then the last one is our policy for the security camera usage has been adopted, which we do have security camera policy. But we don't have signage posted
that
the premises are under surveillance. So another sign to purchase and to post. But other than that, those 4 chapters were doing a great job, I think, meeting our standards and above and beyond. So.
The security cameras, does it include FOIA requests on the camera recordings? If somebody FOIA requests?
No, I think that falls under the city for FOIA. Because they have the FOIA officers.
So how would that work then? They make a request to the city tells us? Or they just come in? I mean, that seems kind of a long way around. I mean, if you're going to make a FOIA request, does it have to go through a specific person over at the city that authorizes and then sends it to us? Okay.
So that's it. So next month we'll do a couple more. And then I can just print out the checklist for you again. Mm-hmm. For the next few.
And you'll tell us which ones to read.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you which ones to read.
Okay. And so then let's move on to referendum.
Okay. This has been battering around in my brain for a while. I've never wanted to do it. I've been on the board for 21 years, and in that 21 years, other than the referendum we passed to build the building, we have never asked the public to increase our 0.15 levy. I think it's time, based on some of the items in her checklist and staffing needs, the minimum wage and the wage compression and all of that, being competitive with area libraries so that we can keep our good staff. I mean, we have one staff member that is actually doing the marketing that Shelley's been talking about. She was instrumental in providing and maintaining the new website because she knows WordPress, which is, we can't lose her. So, yeah, I was hoping that we could push this out to 2025 when our bonds are paid for, and then we could say, well, you know, the bond levy is going away, but we would like to keep some of it. And looking at the part of the library law that pertains to the referendum and the operating and maintenance is 75 ILCS Chapter 5, Section Paragraph 3-2. And there's in there it talks about, you know, up to 0.10 to 0.20 in a referendum for maintenance and operation. And it gives an example of the question that would be asked.
Okay.
Anybody who would like to see that little section of the law or the whole law, I could send them a copy of it, or, you know, just go out and Google up 75 space ILCS space 5-3/3-2, and it'll bring you right to it. Looking at two options that I have in my head that I haven't talked to anybody about, a 0.02 increase would roughly give us $125,000 additional in our budget. And if we went all the way to 0.05, it would give us an additional $311,665 in our budget. If I looked at my my tax bill, property tax bill, based on the value of my house, at the 0.02, it would increase my annual levy to the library by $17.17. And doing the 0.05, I would raise it by $42.90. I think we need to contact our attorney about this. Mm-hmm. It's something I truly believe we need to do, because our budget is getting bashed pretty hard with building maintenance, salaries. We need to hire, you know, an additional full-time person, and I'm not sure there's money in there for it.
There's not.
Okay.
Sorry.
Originally, I was only looking at the November the November election, which would mean we would not be able to levy if the referendum passed. We would not be able to levy it in 2022. So it would be levied in 2023 and collected in 2024. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, 3 years away. I forgot about the primary election, which is in June. If we were able to get the referendum on the June ballot and it passed, we would still be in time to be able to levy it in 2022 and be collected in 23. So the time we have time to put this through. I do believe City Hall has to approve it to get the referendum on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So we would have to get some buy-in from the alderman over there.
Mm-hmm. So when we send that to them, how does that work? When we send a request for something beyond for a referendum,
it would it would be a formal memo memorandum to the city that this is what we'd like to do. Probably have to come from our attorney. Mm-hmm. This is the question they have. The law says. This is the tidbit that's in there. It says, shall the annual library tax for maintenance and operation in insert name of city be increased from insert present tax to insert proposed tax? So and then it's a question, yes or no.
But the section that you're citing says for a city over 500,000 in population. So section 3-2, the corporate authorities of any city over 500,000 population.
Let me look at the whole law.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first line.
We still have, we can't just do it. Mm-hmm. We'd have to put it on as a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
I think
this has to go to an attorney to figure out
what it is. What we need to do. It's something that would be beneficial to us if we increased our levy by 0.02. Yes, it would be a hit for the taxpayers, and in this climate, a hit is not an optimal thing. But it's something we have to do because we're getting hit by minimum wage, which once I'm pretty confident that once it hits the $15 an hour, it's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, no, we need to be $16 an hour, $18 an hour, $20 an hour. It's just going to keep going up. Even if it doesn't, by mandate, go up, we're going to want to give people raises. So it'll go up. The cost of the benefits are going to go up. So it's either look at cost sharing for the benefit package, which wouldn't be... The full timers wouldn't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we need to look at. And I think it's something Shelley can call an attorney about and see what he thinks, or email him or whatever.
Actually,
bring it back up.
I'm not comfortable putting even a referendum on the ballot. We have terrible inflation right now. We've got tax prices that are skyrocketing. I don't think that a referendum would pass. I don't even know if it's worth our time or money to pay an attorney to ask about it. I don't think it's something that's feasible to ask the taxpayers to do. Even if it's only $17 a year what is it going to be if our property prices increase and then the tax levy or the tax is higher on the people? I'm not comfortable with it at all, especially with inflation.
Right, and there was just a 3% increase on everybody's property values.
Yeah, but what if my property values skyrocket?
I know that, and it has happened in the recent past where there's been a reevaluation of our property values.
Exactly. So I wouldn't vote for a referendum to pass it to increase my taxes, and I don't know that other people would.
Right.
I understand why you would want to increase the tax levy. I understand that. What I'm saying is I think this needs to be discussed as a group.
That was my intention tonight, was to just get it out there for people to think about.
Okay.
You know, we could have more discussion next month.
What are some alternatives? I think that's one thing that we should really look at.
Yeah.
Are there alternatives to not having a referendum that can benefit us here, where we can have a marketing director? You know, what are our other options too? We should lay that out all instead of just talking about a referendum. Lay it out all out on the table.
We have very few funding options. Property taxes is our primary one. The state grants.
Mm-hmm. And housing bills are really up and down, so you can't rely on them.
They're talking about it, you know, with the way the housing is right now, they're talking about another
bubble.
Yeah.
I just read that.
You know, we can't count on new construction going the way it has been.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if it did, but.
Well, one thing I think you said, grants. Are there any other type of grants we can search out to try and adjust our budget and, you know.
Yeah, Genevieve is a grant writer,
mm-hmm.
and you know, she says there's not those types of grants out there.
But are there grants out there that are part of, that would
offset
our budget, that we shift that money over to, you know.
Something else.
Or like
a line item.
I can have her dip her toes in the water with it.
Yeah, because if there's other grants out there that we can get, we secure those grants, then we can shift money over towards, say, you know,
but they're not sustainable.
Right.
You know?
The grants are the other grants.
Well,
not sustainable. I should continue.
I think when we go through these checklists, we're going to have a better idea, though, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sadly, nothing's going to get cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So anything we need to do to our building, I mean, if these are our responsibilities to do this,
mm-hmm.
I hate taxes as much as anybody. And if I saw that on the ballot, I mean, I think I would struggle with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we, I, as a board, we have these responsibilities. So if we're underfunded, that is an issue.
So.
By the time we hear.
You're always talking about
a
year later.
Right. And when our bonds are up,
yes.
Our levy, does it go down? Does it stay the same?
It goes down.
By how much?
It goes down by the amount of the debt service, which at the moment is about half. So right now, looking at the library line item on my tax bill, it's 0.26.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the paperwork that we had last month, the operating budget is 0.13. So approximately 50-50. And I believe, as I remember what the... Of course, that was on the original bonds, and the bonds have been refinanced. As I recall, the original bonds, it was the last 4 or 5 years that the debt service levy went down. It's like it gets cut in half every year until the bonds are paid off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a normal mortgage where you front load the interest, you front load the payments, and then you get all the others in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You reduce that amount.
Mm-hmm.
When are you reducing the bond?
2025. So 2026, that should come off your tax bill, that part of your tax. It's something to think about.
Right.
I mean, to me, if we can live till to that point,
yeah.
then we ask, we could potentially have the referendum, a referendum then that says, okay, it's gone down, we just want to increase the operating fund mm-hmm. by a certain percentage,
yeah.
which could even still be below what,
right.
you know, what it is right now.
Right. At the onset of the talks and everything, when we built the new building, we would have had about approximately a $2 million budget by now with the growth that was projected.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, I don't remember the exact numbers, mm-hmm. but it was over $2 million in our operating fund. So it was a substantial kick when everything
went to the
toilet.
Yeah.
We had the big building and the big fee to pay for it, and
mm-hmm.
nothing to look back at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to keep in mind, mm-hmm. think about, figure out what we can do. This person that's doing what we're doing, the marketing, she is looking for a full-time job. She's one of our part-timers.
Oh.
We would hate that. I would hate that. And I'm sure Shelly would hate to lose her. So she's a very, very ambitious young lady.
Can we have Ms. Genevieve look into, see if we can find some type of other grants that can...
I can talk to her.
Yeah, I know it's not a lot, especially when
right.
we are.
But again, it's not a sustainable
right.
thing that
right.
you get year after year.
Exactly.
It's not one and done.
Yeah. I know. We know that our budget, we've seen it, mm-hmm. we've been in it, and we know that most of it goes to our building issues. And so
I mean, I think it's actually a small percentage
yeah.
to go to the building, but
mm-hmm.
I think we have to think about a chiller replacement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dark cloud that's coming. No, that's all I'm
it's
thinking.
Like watching
about.
The tornado coming back. Place to go. It's like, oh, it's coming. Yep.
Mm-hmm. This was just a discussion. He just wanted
right.
to bring it to
right.
bring it to our attention. We're not voting on anything. We're not making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
What's our timeline though? Where we
I'm not sure when it would have to be approved by the city council to get it on the referendum. But I want to say probably March. April time frame, we would have to make a determination. That would be something attorney could answer, or even somebody over at the city attorney could answer that question. Or Mark. And obviously, if we did decide to go that route, we'd have copious amounts of public meetings to discuss it, show them the benefits of
mm-hmm.
of it, the cost of it.
And we really would need a marketing director.
Correct. Yep. Yep. And this is in no way to try and backdoor in funding for a district. This is strictly for current operation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if everyone can,
just put on your thinking cap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's think of some options. Let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And there's nothing else on that. There's no reason to go in executive session, so then we are adjourned.
Mm-hmm.